Hello, this is Pastor Dennis Thomas from Holiday Community Fellowship Church. We continue our study in the book of Revelation. We are in the sixth chapter. Today we'll be looking at verses 9 through 17. Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 17. And it's going to give us some information about the response to the four horsemen. How should we respond to them? But before we do that, let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful for another opportunity to bow before you. We're so grateful, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And Lord, that sometimes the fear in our heart overwhelms us. But today, Lord, we pray that your peace would reveal to us how we should respond to these revelations that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that our ears might be open to hear what it is you have to say to the churches, to us. And I ask, Lord, that you'd bless those that are here today, that they might hear and that they might know more about what it is you have for us as your people. We thank you, Father God, and ask, Lord, your mercy upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue in chapter 6, the first part was about the four horsemen, which was revealed to us. And now we're going to look at what is our response to the four horsemen, or what will man's response be to the four horsemen. And as we read through here, and as we study through this, then try to put yourself in the position of what will your response be? What should our response be? Not just what, you know, in general, what our response should be, but personally, what should our responses be if we find ourselves in this place? Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. I will read those before we get started. 9 through 17. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. I looked when I broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is to stand?" Praise be to God for the reading of his precious word. John records two responses to the opening of the first four seals, one in heaven, one on earth. Beginning with the fifth seal, the nature of the judgment changes. The last three seals contain neither horse, rider, nor the natural forces of judgment. Here we see God working, bringing about both the favorable and the ominous results for the world's people amid the judgments of the four horsemen. The fifth seal, known as the souls of the slain, which is verses 9 through 11, When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. When the Old Testament priest presented an animal for sacrifice, the first thing it did was its blood was poured out at the base of the altar. So the animal was sacrificed, it was collected in a bowl, and it was poured out at the base of the altar. In the Old Testament, this blood represents life, and it most certainly still does today. The blood of Jesus represents life. Here in Revelation, the souls of the martyrs, martyrs are those who have died for the cause of Christ, are under the altar. They are under the altar, indicating their lives were given sacrificially for the glory of God. They gave their lives. They did not deny Jesus Christ. They gave their lives as a sacrifice to God and were not deterred from that. These saints were slain by the enemy because of what? Because of their witness. Because of the word of God. And they were faithful to the word. Because of the testimony they had maintained. They did not back off or give in, but remained true and faithful and steadfast. How many of us might remain faithful and true and steadfast in the face of opposition? The prayer of the martyrs, listen to these. You know what they do? They call out for vengeance. Because they know this world is wicked. It's not because they don't care about the people. They call out that how much longer must evil have its way? This is different than the prayer of Jesus for his persecutors and Stephen and the host of others. They prayed, Father, forgive them. Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies. Why is this prayer different? Why is the prayer of the martyrs different? Why is it not a prayer for forgiveness? Well, first of all, because we have reached the time when the age of grace is over. At this time, the age of grace is over at their time. God will eventually judge sin and establish righteousness. They know that. They know how much longer are you going to wait until you judge? And then it is not a personal vengeance they desire, but the vindication of God's holiness. They are in the presence of God. They see his holiness and they see how wretched sin on the earth is. And they want vengeance for his holiness. They want things to be holy as they experience holiness themselves. So what is the answer? God makes it clear that their sacrifice was not an accident, but an appointment. Did you hear that? It wasn't an accident. They were called to that time. They were given that appointment. And others would join them. It even says that. He even tells them, you wait for those who are coming. They are told to wait. There will be others slain for their faith. There is today. People today are not only being slain, they are being thrown in prison. Their rightful liberties and just their rights and humanity are being taken away from them. We see it even in our own country. They're trying to take away our religious liberties. They're trying to keep us from gathering together, trying to keep us from talking about Jesus at all. but they will never stop the name of Jesus, because there's a name that's greater than any name that ever has been said from the lips of man or of angels, and is the name Jesus. Now the sixth seal, that seal really is the nature of chaos and how the people respond to that chaos. It's given to us in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" It is a seal of incomprehensible terror. Incomprehensible terror. It is a seal of calamity. The saints cried, "Avenge us," but the unbelievers on earth will cry, "Hide us." The opening of the sixth seal is a disturbing picture of nature in chaos. The whole natural world goes on a rampage. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 24. And we're going to look at verses 29 and 30. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Also turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 21. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 27. Luke 21, 25 through 27. "Then there will be signs in sun and moon and stars on the earth, dismay among nations and perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh." Praise be to God for the reading of His word. What will be the effect of those events on people, do you think? Think about that for a moment. Everything that's just been read out of Revelation, out of Matthew 24 and Luke 21. The final question left hanging at the end of Revelation, as done been read, is who can stand? That's the question. Who can stand in such a time as that? I'm thinking very few, if any at all. I love the passage of Scripture when the Lord says, when you have done everything that you can do, just stand. But who can stand under such calamity and such terror? All the people who have not yet believed in Christ, who have refused the offer of grace, will be subject to this terrible and catastrophic events. That's unbelievers. That's not you and I. I believe that we will be raptured before this time. I believe this is the description of the tribulation period. And we'll be out of here as a church. But those left behind, maybe friends that you have, maybe loved ones that you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ, what are they going to do? How will they stand? What message is it that we should leave for them? We should leave them a message of hope. The only hope, Jesus the Christ. These people who are unbelievers, they will cry out in desperate fear like none they'd ever experienced in their entire life. At that time, they will have reached a stage where they cannot believe. They will not have an opportunity. Their time will have passed. They will not repent and pray for salvation because of the hardness of their heart. They would rather die and pray for rocks to fall on them and destroy them instead of pray for forgiveness, to pray for salvation. Unbelievers are somehow convinced that death is escape into oblivion. They feel like, oh, just kill me and it'll be over and I won't have to be subject to any more of these terrors, any more of these convulsions, any more of this rampage, any more of this craziness. But the word of God is clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. They will die, and they will be judged. If people refuse, like they do today, and they continue to do, if they refuse to yield to the love of God, there is no escape from the wrath of God that's coming. If you refuse what God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you will suffer His wrath. Why does the Lord reveal these terrible scenes to us, reveal these terrible scenes to us? Well, if we belong to the Lord, we will not be part of this scene. Yet this vision is given to the churches. Why? So we can warn others of the coming calamities. It has been given in order to inspire us and give us an urgency to the witness in which we have within us, the testimony we have within us, to witness to the world which is lost and dying. Do you want your family? Do you want your friends? Do you want your neighbors to go through this terrible scene of judgment? I don't. I don't want anyone to experience what the wrath of God will bring. I want them all to know Jesus. I want them all to come to Jesus. Even when I stand in line at Walmart and I pray for people, I pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to share Jesus. My wife and I this past week had an opportunity to lead two individuals to the Lord in salvation. They will escape this terrible wrath because of the decision they made. Finally, and this is a big one. Do you want their blood on your heads? That's the question. Are you so afraid to talk about Jesus, uncertain whether he is who he says that he is, uncertain whether judgment is coming as the word says it's coming, and we're afraid to say anything about Jesus because we might offend somebody. We might come away with them thinking that we're some kind of lunatic or Jesus freaks. But I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, I believe the tears that Christ wipes from our eyes will be tears of those that we know are left behind. That's where we're at, people. The enemy is at the wall. This is our time. This is your time. It is time to tell people about Jesus without reservation, without fear. To tell them about the testimony, your testimony of how Jesus saved you by his precious blood shed on the cross thousands of years ago, that today you might be able to, not experience the wrath of God, which is to come. And it is coming. I sense an urgency within my spirit, within my soul, that says, Christ is coming. Prepare the sheep. Christ is coming. Father God in heaven, we thank you for chapter 6 of Revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, even though it speaks of things that we would just as soon to ignore, just to go home and close the door and pull the blinds and not talk about Jesus, turn on the TV or the radio or the internet or social media and not talk about Jesus. The time is coming. The time is coming when your wrath will be poured out upon all men. And those that do not believe will wish themselves to be dead, not knowing that when they do die, they will be judged. Help us, O Lord. Help us to share the truth with those around us. Help us to draw more into your presence. Help us to lead people to Jesus, your Son, who saved us by his precious blood. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for those who have listened today. And ask, Lord, that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.